Hello, listeners. This is Very Best of Living with Dr. Taylor Hartman. I am here with my co-host, Kat Larson. Hi, Kat.
Dr. Taylor Hartman, how are you?
I am well. Thank you very much. It's funny, by the way, many people say to me, do I call you Dr. Hartman or what do you like to go by? And I always say, no, I earned the PhD, but I prefer to go by Taylor. So I'm very comfortable with Taylor as my connection. But I think about why I went back for my doctorate, and I wanted to know what would make lives better quicker. And I found that the field that I had studied in for my master's did not really offer what I felt was necessary techniques to improve the rate and the rapidity of healing, of getting stronger and healthier, right? So I added some business kinds of classes, which offer much more of a toolkit for improving one's life. And that's one of the reasons I went back. So feel free to call me Dr. Taylor Hartman or Taylor, either one. Today, we're going to have we're going to have a very interesting conversation today, because I am kind of on a soapbox about the things that people bring from their childhood that they think are normal. And then they get married or grow up and they realize, oh my gosh, that was not normal at all, nor was it healthy. But it's how I thought the world worked until I got outside of my home. I didn't know that, right? So I'm saying this because I have lots of couples I'm working with that are living by concepts that are not productive. They're not healthy. They're not accurate. They're not legitimate, but they abide by them. And as an observer, I'm an outside party watching this in the relationship. I'm going, can you not see that all you're doing is destroying the relationship you're in by believing things that are false and illegitimate that you learned as a child? So that's the beauty of today's conversation. That's what we're going to focus on.
So, yeah, I'm ready.
Okay. So let me, I got to air my dirty laundry. I'm going to start with myself. This is not really a horrendous thing, but it does kind of show how you can be raised to believe one thing and it's totally illegitimate. So when I was early in our marriage, I loved this moment. I said to my wife, would you like some ice cream? And she said, sure. About 15 minutes goes by and I said, did you say you wanted ice cream? And she says, yeah, it sounds good to me. About 30 minutes later, I said, are you going to get the ice cream? And she said, no, why would I get the ice cream? You're the one that said, would you like to have ice cream? I mean, it's so ridiculous now, but I was raised by a mother that she just catered to us. The five boys, right? Because she liked the boys better than the girls, had their chairs around the TV, and she would bring us our ice cream. And I had this mindset that that's what you do. And my wife said, if you want the ice cream, then you get the ice cream. And if you ask me if I want some, then you bring me some too, right? And it seems so like, hello, how do you not know that, right?
Watson, it's elementary.
It's so elementary, Watson, I know. But I was raised not to think that way. Like it was crazy making. And once it was put out for me, I think I fought it for a little bit. And finally I said, this is just stupid. Like, she's right. If you ask someone if they want something, then you should get it for them. But I was raised different than that. Now, she had one of her own, too. One of hers was, while you're up. So in her family, if you're standing up, then they ask you to go do run errands for them. Like, go do it. You're already up, right? And so she would say to me, while you're up. And I said, oh, this is not going to work for me. Are you kidding me? If you're sitting, then I'm the gopher boy. That's what's going to happen every time.
While you're up, would you change the oil?
Exactly. Oh my gosh, it was hysterical. That was the thing she had to work on. Like, no, you're not saying while I'm up, just get up yourself. That's what you need to do. And she said it was the hardest thing for her. She was like so used to doing that. Like, while you're up, would you get this for me? Isn't that funny? And then here's another great one. So my daughter, Mikkel, she gets married to Matt and they are living in this basement apartment. And she is the last one in bed. And she gets into bed and says, are you going to turn off the light? And Matt goes, why would I turn off the light? I'm in bed already. She goes, my dad always turned the lights out. Always. And he goes, do I look like your dad? said, this has, there's no way I'm going to get out of bed and go turn off the lights for you. But he's so blue, he did it. And I said, Mikkel, that is ridiculous.
Well, but they could be some pretty hefty. We have one in our family that's a pretty hefty one.
What is it? Like, you know, I want to hear it.
You sure?
Yeah, I do.
Okay. So my husband was raised with his mother who, it was like one of the commandments, women do not like sex. No women.
Oh, my
gosh.
They
don't like sex.
Yes. Yes.
I'm serious.
No, I believe it.
I know that gets into some weird areas, but it's like, I mean, after, you know, years of marriage, it's like, it's not just me saying, no, I'm good. Let's go.
Yes, I like it.
That doesn't solve the problem.
Because they believe it's not true. They believe what they were taught.
That's right.
Isn't that?
And so we've.
Oh,
God,
my
gosh. It's just
gosh.
So embedded. I mean, it's almost part of their DNA at one point when you hear it from the time you're 4 years old on.
That's so well said. I love that. And you're sitting there going, I like sex and I'm a woman. So don't make that comment for me. And it's at your own loss. What are you doing?
About this.
You know, what's funny about that. I've heard many, many clients say to me, so you do know that women don't like sex. And I'm going, that's not true. I mean, I'm sorry, your woman may not, but don't believe all women don't. I've even had women say to me, I would like to enjoy sex, but I've been told I shouldn't.
Yes.
Wait a minute here. This is nonsense. So it's interesting. Like, for example, when you raise a child and you make her a princess.
Yes.
So she then does not believe she should be doing the dirt work, the scuttle work. She is entitled. It's a horrendous phenomenon. I have one couple I work with. When she doesn't get her way, she just talks louder. And everybody has learned that at that point, you just do what she asks because it's easier than to take her on. She's a princess. She honestly believes she can just shut you down by being louder. And it's kind of tragic when I see the limited lives we live buying into false notions we were taught as kids, right? So how do you, first of all, how do you even see it?
Yes, that's what I was just thinking.
Well, you've got to have a spouse who will speak up. Someone's got to say to you, look, if you want ice cream, then go get ice cream. Don't ask if I want it and then expect me to get it. As someone has to kind of wake you up, right? Throw water in your face. I think it's very important that as a spouse, you feel you have the right to say to somebody, let's talk about that because that doesn't really work well for me. I know there are people, for example, especially sexist, where men do everything and the woman doesn't know how to do anything with the car, or the money or whatever. And then the husband dies and this woman he's been trying to support and protect. And this woman who appreciated all that is now left in the dark. So there's some very traumatic things that can happen if you buy into stereotypes that are not accurate and not legitimate and not healthy, right? And those
what's a step there? So the first thing you do is when you sit down and you say, my beliefs about men, my beliefs about money, my beliefs about, you know, like, is that what you do?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Like that's like, for example, with money, am I a saver or a spender? Right. And it's this is a great one. Like I had a couple the other day and he is a saver and she is a spender. And he is so traumatized by her spending that he doesn't risk anything because he's afraid he won't be able to afford taking care of her as a spender. And she wants more in life, but he can't go there because he's afraid of, if I go there with you and I don't have reserves in the bank to pay for your spending, I'll be underwater. So she's creating the problem she's resenting by being an overspender, but doesn't see it, does not acknowledge it at all. Isn't that interesting?
Yes.
And yet it's so clear, it's clear as day to me what's going on. So everybody should stop and think now, what am I doing? And is it legitimate? So self-awareness. I personally think that you're not going to become self-aware typically without somebody else throwing water in your face. Somebody has to say to you, like, for example, if I'm having a fight with my wife, the worst thing for me to do is to go to other guys who have fights with their wives because they'll all agree with me. They're going to go, oh, you know how women are. I mean, hello. That's the dumbest thing I could do. The smartest thing is go to a woman in a relationship with a man and say, so here's what I'm struggling with. And she'd go, well, have you looked in the mirror? Like, let me explain to you what's happening here. So if you want honest feedback, have somebody in your pocket, a friend, a parent, a spouse, a child, that can be honest. They can say what they really see, right?
It's so good. Yeah, it's so good. I remember when I first got married that we were, something had happened and I was having a, you know, I was having an issue or something. And I went to my group of friends and I started talking about it. And what it turned into was, you know, what you were just saying is like, yeah, you know, well, man, just blah, 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 and bam, 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 bam.
Yep.
And so pretty soon, you know, at the very beginning of the conversation, I felt like, oh, yeah, see, I was right.
Yes.
But by the time I walked out, I realized I never wanted to be in that conversation again.
So
because
good for you.
All it did was made me more angry at him. It brought me no understanding, no light. And I didn't want to be around men bashers any, or husband bashers anymore.
Great insight. And, that's great.
And so I do have a question for you. So you're like your daughter.
Yep.
You know, there's a big difference between my dad always turned off the light, get up and turn off the light, and spend or saver, or women don't like sex, right? So there's some biggies in what you bring to a relationship. Where would you, what categories would you put those in, Taylor? What are the biggies so I can start looking at, you know, before my kid gets married, I say, okay, McKenna, here's what you got to look at.
Yeah. Well, that I think that's a great question. I think, for example, lifestyle is a big one. Is someone entitled or not? There are issues about sex. There are issues about money. There are issues about spirituality, how they see the world. I always love the idea of watch somebody, how they treat the waitress or the waiter. Watch how they see the, you know, watch how they treat other people, not just you. And by the way, you know, I always say this, and it's one of my favorite phrases, you get what you deserve. So the reality is you look at yourself, like what are the things that you are not whole in that you're looking to fill in this relationship? So if you're looking for a controlling person that will take care of you, that will also come back to bite you, right? I think there's some big issues and there's some small issues. I would agree with you. There are families that are actually healthier than others. What's sad to me is when someone comes from an unhealthy family and tries to impose that on somebody who came from a healthy family, and then they take them both down. So I think how they treat you. Another big one is communication. How do you see communication? One couple I worked with just recently, it was very, very tragic because this is a young man who is yellow and loves being adored. And he can't stop finding women to adore him. Like he just, it doesn't matter who it is that adores him. He wants someone else. I want someone more. And either he fixes that problem or he will lose the marriage. She's finally gotten to the point where she said, no, we got to stop this nonsense. It's gone on for too long. I'm totally shut down now. So I would look to see whether someone is healthy enough or if they're still stuck in their personality limitations, and that's owning them. That's another big one I'd look at.
So if I'm let's just go here. So if I'm looking at this, and what I bring to it is, let's just pick if I'm a white personality and I avoid conflict and I bring that to a relationship.
Yes.
What that means.
Yes.
What that will turn into is, so just like that will just be the place where nothing's solved. We never resolve, you know, nothing's resolved. We never get into intimacy because we can never understand each other. I mean,
correct.
Is that what you're saying?
Correct.
Start with that one thing.
That's so well said, Kat. That's exactly where I would start. And take the ownership for what you're going to create because you can't stand conflict. That alone. Just start right there, right?
Okay.
Yes. Or stubbornness as a white is another big one. Or fear. The whites can be very fear-based, right? Yellows need to look at being self-centered. Like it's all about me. Like there's only room for one on the stage. Yellows need to look at following through on things. Lots of promises, but don't complete tasks. I talked to a yellow this last week and I said, you know your problem? Your problem is you're so undisciplined. You can't control your tongue. You're harsh. You're mean. You're mad when you yell. You don't watch your weight. And her husband's leaving her. And I said, you want him more than life itself, but you won't do the things that discipline yourself enough to make him want you. So if you really want a good relationship in life, you've got to start disciplining yourself. And that starts with your temper. I don't care what you have to do. Bite your tongue off. I don't care. Just sit in it. Do not respond. And it'll be like hard to do, but that's how you start. So that's another one for yellows. I think for blues, It's the unrealistic expectations. I think blues get stuck on wanting things that in their mind are like everyone should be like, everyone should do, the shoulds.
Yeah.
And that limits their success in life because they're always judging people. They're never good enough, right? And I think for blues also, you have the issue of critical. They're so critical of themselves. So unaccepting of themselves. They're always comparing themselves to others and not measuring up. And therefore, they get grumpy or irritated, which you lose the beauty of the blue, what they really are all about, right? Mm-hmm. The reds, selfishness. I mean, I think my biggest problem for reds is that they don't necessarily see compassion. They don't feel that way. They feel more about themselves and what they're about and are limited in their capacity to look beyond themselves. I think also for reds, what's the problem is they are so focused on success in a particular area. I was asked a question in my Instagram last week about my mom, my red mom, what I loved about her and what I hated about her. And the thing I hated most about her was she would dismiss anyone who was critical of her. If anyone disagreed with her, she was dismissive. And so that's something for reds to look at is am I inviting of people challenging me? Am I secure enough and feel good enough about myself that I don't have to be right at the expense of the relationship? So there's
you her favorite?
Oh, yeah. Oh, for sure. Absolutely.
And were you able to say things to her that she would listen to?
Yes, but I never said anything really harsh back to my mom. I just could blow her off. Like I would just go off and do what I wanted to do. And she loved my social skills. But when I got older, and I'm talking about 22, I spoke up to her. And she did not like that. Did not like that at all. But I was so yellow, I didn't care. Like, that's too bad. I'm sorry you don't like it, but I have an opinion. And I still was very able to engage her. I didn't have any resentment to my mom. I was never bitter about things with her. Where others of my siblings got bitter and resentful, which I understand, but it held them back. They were less able then to engage her. So, I think that it's important. By the way, we should talk about that a little bit. Like, if you want to really have an abundant life, be willing to look at the truth. Be willing to see what you are about and what you do right and what you do wrong. Like if the yellow is not willing to see they don't really finish things they start, that is irritating to a blue who is all about finishing the details. And rather than say, oh, you're so frumpy, you're always so demanding, why don't you just start with, I really don't finish, do I? Let me take a task and follow it all the way to the end. That would be the healthiest place to go, right? So I start by looking inside at what can I do? What should I be doing to make this relationship better? Now, the other problem I have is if I'm fear-based, I won't take you on. I would rather you like me. I would rather you accept me. I would rather please you than go to truth. So if you're dirty in your motive, you can own me because I don't want to have conflict. I want you to like me. So that's a big one for people to realize is that you have to be willing to not have things be pleasant if you're going to speak truth. It is not a joyride when you go there.
And all you have to do is get on and look at, you know, the books that are out or what's happening again on social media and some of the people that I follow. And I think people keep looking for this, you know, it's kind of like wanting to lose, you know, 43 pounds in 7 days. Like,
yes.
Drink skinny tea and you'll do this or whatever they are.
Yes. No, you're right. Don't do your work. Just do the pill.
Yeah. And I think that's why we get like, you know, the top 10 ways too. And we think it's all that's going to take. And what's coming through as you're talking to me, Taylor, is it's going to suck. It's going to suck. And you got to sit in the suck.
Yes. You know? Yes.
And you got to figure it out instead of there's nothing to make it feel better right now.
No.
And we're such a, it just seems like we just look
instant
for this stuff to
gratification.
Get us through fast and feel okay.
Figure it out, solve the problem, instant gratification. That's all I want. Scott Peck's work was so brilliant when he talked about that will destroy mental health. If you're looking for instant gratification, you will destroy mental health. Because you're right. Good mental health requires energy and effort and pain. Like there are elements of truth that are not pleasant for any of us to have to deal with. And your pain is different than my pain. Things you're going to deal with are different than things I deal with. And I may deal with something at 70 that you didn't deal with, or you dealt with at 15. And that's another thing I want to talk about also. I want our people to know that I do believe if you don't resolve issues appropriate to the time, you will come back and haunt you. They'll come back and haunt you, and you'll experience them later in life. and it'll be more painful. So if you don't address the issues at the time they're going on, when you do address them, whether it's forced on you or you actually choose to embrace that process, it will be more painful than if you'd done them at the time.
Oh, gosh. I think that's so brilliant, because it's like either do it today, either talk about right. your fear or where you're screwed up, or
right.
what it feels like today,
right?
Or in 25 years, your whole family is going to be sitting in your office, Taylor, talking about how screwed up their family is.
My gosh, that's true. No, it's true. You're absolutely, yeah. if you don't do your work today, it will come back to haunt everything you say you value 25 years from now. That's yep. a great point. Yep. I agree with you.
Yes. Well, and it's 10 times as big, and it's 10 times as messy. And not that I still, you know,
it is.
Like, there's so much I'm still looking at and dealing with and trying to figure out with sisters and brothers
right.
and kids.
Right.
You know, it's not like it ever is squeaky clean.
Done.
Right.
No, life's messy. It is messy. But one of the ways you can find peace is know the motive is clean. I'm not trying to
yes.
hurt somebody. I'm not trying to make up for the past. I'm trying to be legitimate. I have one client right now that it's so cool. She's finally coming to terms with the fact that she was undeserving of what she wanted from her siblings because she didn't want them. She never valued them. She was irritated by them. She's just now coming into her own of saying, all right, I need to stop this nonsense and just start getting myself right. Making myself more legitimate and stop worrying about what they are doing or not doing. Like just center on yourself. What is it I need to work on that is forgiving? Who do I need to forgive? And if you start down the checklist and you go, well, I wouldn't forgive him because no, you missed the point. I want you to forgive because
it
frees you. What?
I said, that's who you forgive first.
That's true. That's exactly. I just think it's important that people realize mental health takes work. We talk about doing your work here. I would love people just to think for a minute. What have I brought into this relationship I'm in today that was not legitimate, but I thought it was? And I am not a big beat up your parents person. Believe me, I'm a big believer at 18, you're on your own. Whatever you didn't, uh-huh. it was done to you by before 18. I'm sorry about that. But after 18, figure it out. It's your life.
Right.
So I think it'd be great if our listeners start thinking about, so what am I carrying on that is destructive, that is unhealthy? What am I willing to change in me that I brought with me that's now hurting my life? That's what I want you to think about.
Can I ask you a quick question?
Yeah.
What you do for your world, your life
yeah.
is you help people. You've got clients who are in therapy, you're moving them through things. How much can I do on my own?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, your perspective as a mental health professional.
Yes.
Right?
Yep.
Like, can I get pretty far down the road on my own?
Yes, absolutely. There's truth is not sitting in the therapist's office. Truth exists outside and inside. In fact, I'll be honest with you. Some therapists, they don't live by truth. They promote victimhood, actually. So it's very important for you to know as a listener, you don't have to see a shrink to get clarity. If you want to do your work on your own, you can do that. But just know there are truths that you have to process. You have to go that route. But you absolutely can do that, Kat. There's many, many people that I think that do very good work on finding truth about themselves and about quality of life. On the other hand, if you do trust somebody and you have a good therapist that you work with, it can facilitate the process. It can just get you through things easier. But you don't go to a therapist for a friend. That's not what you do. You go to get clarity on things you're stuck with. I can't figure this out. And then you apply it, right? But don't feel you have to go to a therapist to become healthy. That's not true, right?
No, it's such a cheesy comparison, but it's kind of like this guy that was helping me with my workout. It's
right.
like, you know, I was doing certain moves with weights
right.
and whatever I was
yes.
doing. And he stopped me. And it's like, I mean, even if it was like move my angle 3 degrees this way with when I was doing a, you know, a
yep.
bicep curl
yep.
to isolate this, it's the
yeah.
same notion, right?
Same notion.
I was still getting healthy, but boy, could I really hone in on that bicep muscle when he helped me with my form.
See, the humility you came to him with freed you to get all the gifts he brought, right? That's the beauty.
Yes.
What I don't like is when the client comes to me, their life sucks. I'm trying to help them see why it sucks, and they're fighting with me. I'm like, hello, You're paying a lot of money to fight with somebody who's trying to give you an answer you obviously don't want to hear. So probably come back later when you're ready to hear it. So that's a great point, though. If you want to hear it, probably a good place to go. And I hope our listeners are thinking about that. Am I the kind of person that seeks the truth? Do I want to know what I bring to the relationship that's not healthy and fix it? Or am I a blamer? Am I a victim? Am I not courageous? Think you have to look inside yourself and decide what you are. Nobody can bring me a story that is so horrific I would say, oh, well, in your situation, I understand. No. I have worked with things, Kat, you would never believe. They are horrendous, horrendous life experiences. And yet, out of those experiences have come people that I look at and go, you are a miracle. What you have done, your ability to embrace a full and abundant life, is better than people that have experienced nothing near what you've experienced. So whoever you are out there as a listener, please don't go to the victim or the blamer role. Just start with what is it I need to work on to see truth more clearly in my life? What do I need to do to bless the relationship I'm in? That kind of thing. That's where you go. And if you get stuck.
You always make my brain explode. I love it.
Well, we know you have a very strong brain, so that's good.
Albeit small, but strong.
No. So our listeners, we love you. We love hearing from you. You can always write us, taylor@taylorhartman.com. And you can take the profile at taylorhartman.com or kathy@taylorhartman.com. We'd love to hear from you. We hope you have a wonderful week. Do some investigating in yourself about what you've brought into your life from your childhood. And we will talk to you soon next week. Bye now.
Stay curious. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hey, Color Code family. It's Kathy Larson. I want you to take down a number. I want you to put this in your contact list under the people code. The number is 385-526-2350. Again, 385-526-2350. Text the word VIP to that number and you'll get back from us a request for your name and your email. That way we'll be in touch with you on anything that's happening at the People Code, any offerings, exciting things that are coming up, and you can let us know what your needs are by texting us at that number. Look forward to staying connected even more. Thanks so much. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.